One of the things about living in this country is that often there are events that are so deeply emotional. I've told it to you before. During the years that I've been rabbi in Har Nof, 35 years, when I'd come back from a trip to Canada, I would always say, Yehi Ratzon, may it be God's will that Eretz Yisrael should be as boring as Canada. I can be away from Canada for half a year and nothing changed. I remember one week that I was there, the headlines were about new uniforms for the conductors on the trains. And this became an extremely, extremely serious issue. I'm reading it, Meshugoyim, they're out of their mind. But they have nothing else. They have nothing else. It was unbelievable. But over here we have such the return of the remains of Zachariah Baumel. The moment I heard about it on the radio, I got a message from one of my children. I started crying like a baby. All of us from those days remember Yonah Baumel. Oh, that we met with him often. What he was doing to try and find out about his son. And then of course, the whole story I was just mentioning to a guest that we have over here today, Pinchas Morgenstern, a guest of his Hadassah, Shoshana. I turned Susanna into Shoshana. That the idea of a Russian soldiers carrying the casket. I mean, I told him, my Zayde could never have believed it. My Zayde would never have believed it. Before Jews went to St. Petersburg, to the Tsar, they fasted, they prayed. And here we have a prime minister who just flies there, flies back. We're living in different times. But the idea that he was brought back under the last minute, I came into Shul Shabbos in the morning, and my successor rabbi asked me, my successor rabbi, I think, is probably around 40, which means that he didn't have a clue. While we were on the front lines fighting for Eretz Yisrael, it's not his fault that he was born when he was born. So he asked me, I should say a few words about Zachariah Baumel. And basically what I said was that, number one, Avraham Avinu, when he buried Sarah in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, he established two significant principles that remain true until today. Number one, he established something that the sons of Chet, with whom he is negotiating, didn't have a clue. They didn't understand him. What he established was the principle of Kever Yisrael. A Jew is buried together with Jews. Our own cemetery. They didn't get it until he said, no, 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 this is the way I want it. He established something else. At that moment, the bond between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael became an eternal one. Where the mama is buried, you never forsake it. You come back and come back again and again. When Yaakov Avinu asks Yosef, Al no tigbereni b'mitzrayim, don't bury me in Egypt, take me back to Eretz Israel. He established a further bond between the Jewish people and Eretz Israel and Kever Yisrael. And then here it is, we are talking about Yitziat Mitzrayim. Can you imagine what was going on the night of the Exodus? There's a Seder, there's Makas Bechoros, the firstborn are killed. There's so much going on. Jews are asked by God to ask from their neighbors gold and silver and other things. Pay me, I work for you. But there's one person who has a completely different agenda. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to fetch the bones of Yosef. He's going to take Yosef's bones and bring them to Eretz Yisrael for burial. Here was established again this great principle. We do everything and anything so that one of ours should be buried amongst us. It was halavai that all of the rest of them will be returned. But you know, it gets so emotional around here. Every day there's something to be emotional about. That we need something lighter. So I had something lighter this week too. None of you noticed it? None of you noticed it. There was an item on the Chadashot 2. What's that? That's I get it on my little thing. Chadashot 2. About a fellow from Lithuania who bought a ticket for a flight to Italy, and he came to the airport and he finds out he's the only one on the flight. Now this was big news. I sent a text message to my children, go look at that. Why should they look at it? 42 years ago, I used to travel to Toronto. From here, I used to travel it couldn't be 40 years. It was about 30 years ago. I used to travel to Toronto a few times a year. And when I had a chance, I would take a plane from Toronto to Cleveland. I had an elderly aunt and uncle who lived there. Not from the gold side of the family, from the Sandhouse side of the family, my mother. Uncle Joe and Aunt Helen. So on one of my trips, I made a reservation on Continental Airlines to Cleveland. Yes, it's very loud. It's very loud. Anyway, here it is. I book a flight, a Continental flight from Toronto to Cleveland. I come to the airport, you know, I don't notice what's going on around me. I'm sitting and learning, you understand? What do you think I'm doing in the airport? What do? I learn more waiting than I do any place else. I love going to the dentist or to the doctor, and there's a long line, or kupat cholim. Nobody bothers me. All right. Anyway, I didn't notice, but I hear they, will Mr. Gold please step up to the ticket counter? So Mr. Gold does not go to the ticket counter and tell them, well, what are you talking about, Mr. Gold? Do you know that I'm a rabbi in Jerusalem? No, I can take it. I can handle being called Mr. Gold. And there are 3-4 people in suits and one fellow in a uniform, and he says, Mr. Gold, you're the only passenger on this flight. All right. So the station master is there, the president of the company, and the pilot. We're going to walk with you to the plane. And the four of us set out to the plane. So this guy in litter. And I got real personal attention. The stewardess was sitting next to me and telling me, you know, if we need air, it's going to come down here. Okay. One thing is, I always, when I get onto a plane, I take a look and see if there's a good Jew on the plane. I see a gita yid, then I know this plane is going to stay up in the air. This time it was just me. So I learned Gemara from the beginning of the flight to the end of the flight when it finally came down. So if you think big news, the guy in Litta who wants to go to Italy. Anyway, okay, that's the brighter moment of this week. Last week the shiur was, and I think that was the title that I gave, that the Haggadah comes with instructions. The first half of the Haggadah are the instructions that tell us precisely what mitzvah we're fulfilling, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, telling the story of Egypt, and we are told exactly how to fulfill it. It has to be by question and answer. One has to speak to children in the language that they can understand. We are told when it's supposed to take place. All of the laws, all the instructions of the Haggadah come in the first half of the Haggadah, and you'll take a look at your first page. We got down until number 11. If you look on the left-hand side of the page, number 11. I wrote in over there, the Sipur begins, the story begins now. Tseulamad. Let's go and learn. What did Lavan the Aramean wanted? What did he want to do to Yaakov Avinu? Shaparo lo gozer el al azchoram. Paro decreed only against the males. The Lavan bikesh lakor as hakol. Lavan wanted to uproot everything. What it really means is, what do you mean he wanted to uproot? When in his final conversation with Yaakov, he says, Habonim bonai, the habonos benosai, the sons are my sons, the daughters are my daughters. What he's really saying to him is, I want that they should be completely assimilated into my society. That's why he doesn't want Yaakov to leave. Yaakov flees from him. When his father-in-law is away, he takes his family and he flees. And the only reason why Lavan is unable to carry out the total assimilation of Yaakov and his family is because God appeared to him the night before and tells him, don't you dare touch a hair on yon gray head. Don't touch Yaakov. It's only by God's intervention that Yaakov is able to get out of the clutches of Lavan. Lavan represents assimilation, intermarriage, being overwhelmed by an idolatrous, pagan, and heathen society. So that Lavan, you know, that's the kiss of death, the death that comes in a very, very pleasant kind of way. Nebuch. What's happening to American Jewry? All right. Now the Sipur begins. The story. We're going to tell the story now. What text do we use for the story? So strange. So very strange. If we would think about telling the story of the Exodus, where would we go to? We would go to Sefer Shemot. Shemot, that's where the story is. Shemot, Vo'era, Bo, Beshalach, that's where the story is. That's not what the Baal HaGadah does. The Baal HaGadah goes to Parshat Ki Tavo. Turn over on the complete other side, not the page, this back page over here. I'm going to run through this quickly. There are 11 psukim here. This is the parsha of Mikra Bikurim. This is the parsha that a Jew in Eretz Yisrael, when he brings the first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash, there is a declaration that he must make. And that declaration becomes the text for the story of the Haggadah. When you come to the land that God your God gives to you, nachal as an inheritance. So you should know the Yerishta, you should take possession of it, the Yashavta by, and you will live in the land. And you should take from the first of all the fruit of the earth, that you should bring from your land, that God your God gives you. Just watch the number of times it says give. God gives. In the first pasuk, that God your God gives you. In the second pasuk, the same words, five words, the land that God your God gives to you. To you. To nobody else. Don't anybody for a moment think that there will ever be a Palestinian state. And if it comes into being, it's going to be short-lived. It cannot be. The words of God are eternal. I gave the land to you. I didn't give it to anybody else. I felt good saying that. I felt good. It's the truth. The Samta Batena. You should take the first fruits and put them into a basket. The Halachta Lamakom, you should go to the place that God will choose with Shaken Shimo Sham, that his name shall dwell there. This is a code. And then this is a code. The place that God will choose. What is that place? Does it have a name? Sure, it has a name. But the name never appears in Torah. This nebulous kind of the place that God will choose. You know what it is? This city, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. I'm not going to go into why the name isn't mentioned. That's for another shiur. Ubata la'kohen, and you should come to the kohen asher yeh be'yomim heim, to the priest who will be in those days. V'amarta elav, and you should say to me, remember you're coming with your basket of first fruits. V'amarta elav, and you should say to him, I have said today to God, your God, I have come to the land. I have been zeichet to come to the land that God swore to our fathers, latet lanu, to give. Nachamo, latet, to give. Will take the basket of your hand, and he will place it before the altar. Watch. You should lift your voice and say, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, before God your God, Arami Oved Avi. The entire story that we say on the night of Pesach in the Haggadah is based completely on the next four psukim. And I'm going to show you in the Haggadah exactly how it works. Arami Oved Avi. Lavan wanted to destroy my father, Vayedet Mitzrayim, and my father went down to Egypt, Vayogosham, and he lived there. Bimitemiyat, there were just a few people. When they came to Egypt, there were just 70 people. Vayehisham, and there in Egypt, he became Goy Gadol Otzuvarov, a great and mighty people. Vayoreo Otaron Mitzrim, and the Egyptians were bad to us. And you know what else Vayoreo Otaron Mitzrim means? They made us bad. They made us bad. Vayanunu, and they tortured us. Vayitnu aleinu avoda kosher, they placed hard work on us. Vanitzakal Hashem alakei avetenu, we cried out to God, the God of our fathers. Vayishma Hashem et kolenu, God heard our voice. Vayaretenu onyenu, he saw our suffering. Ve'etam aleinu, and our toil. Ve'etlachatzenu, and the pressure that we were under. Vayotzienu Hashem imitzchayim, and God took us out of Egypt with a strong hand, Yad Chazaka, Uve Zroa Netuya, and an outstretched arm, Uve Mora Gadol, with great fear upon the enemies, Uve Otoktu B'moftim, and with signs and with miracles. The four psukim that are underlined, this is the body of the text of the Haggadah. Interesting that the Haggadah doesn't quote the next pasuk. Let's read that next pasuk. This will not appear in the Haggadah. God brought us to this place. Vayiten lanu et haaretz hazot. He gave us this land, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, land flowing with milk and honey. Land flowing with milk and honey. Why don't we say that in the Haggadah? Is the Haggadah anti-Zionist, maybe? What's going on? Why isn't this mentioned in the Haggadah? By the way, the question can be asked as well. There are four cups of wine, and the four cups of wine correspond to the four terms of redemption at the beginning of Parashat Vayera. Vo'tzeiti, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lokachti. I will take you out, I will redeem you, I will take you. But there's a fifth. Ve'veiti etchem, and I'm going to bring you to the land that I saw. Wait a minute. Again, we stop short of mentioning Eretz Yisrael. The plot is thickening. There's something wrong over here. Stop short. So then, you should know that there have always been those who have said that, you know, we have to correct this. And there are those who said that the fifth cup of wine, which is the cup of Eliyahu, we should drink from that cup, corresponding to the fifth term of redemption. I will bring you to the land. And most probably sing the Hatikva while you're doing it, and I don't know, salute the flag. But you'll see, I'm a bigger Zionist than the whole bunch of them. I think they didn't understand the brilliance of the Baal HaGadah. Why is Eretz Yisrael missing from the... it's mentioned in Dayenu. Ilu, yeah. V'loichich nisanu l'Eretz Yisrael, Dayenu. All right. So I tell you, the Baal HaGadah was brilliant. Turn over. Back. Now... Go on to the very last paragraph of the Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. It begins with Tzeil Abad, and you know where it ends? If you will look on the left-hand side of the third page, where it says end of Sipur, do you see that? I wrote it in English there. Let's read that last paragraph. The last paragraph of the story is the Chol Dor V'Dor, Chayev Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Ke'ilu Hu Yotzo Mimitzchayim. In every generation, a person is supposed to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. I have to relive the experience. Not precisely. You'll see in a moment. Bechol dar v'dar, in every generation, chayiv adam lidot tatatzmo, a person is supposed to see himself as though he went out of Egypt, as it says, v'higadot olavincha, you should tell your son, b'yom ahu lemar, on that day, saying, v'avur zeh, because of this, osar Hashem li, God did all of this for me, went b'tzeiti mimitzrayim, when I went out of Egypt. Lo et avoteinu b'vad gal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was not our fathers alone that God redeemed. El avotanu goel limahim. He also redeemed us with them. Shenema. This pasuk is the end of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. How people didn't notice it, for about 30 years now, I can't understand. Shenema. V'otanu hotzimi sham. God took us out of there. Leman havi otanu. In order to bring us, latet lanu, to give us esa oretz, the land, asher nishba la'avotenu, that he swore to our fathers. The Baal HaGadah chose this pasuk over all others. I believe it's, you know, if you want to check me out, I don't care. I'm just ready to say I think that this is the only pasuk in all of Torah most probably the only pasuk in all of Tanakh where it says that the Exodus was in order to bring us to the land. You'll ask people, most people you'll ask, well, why did God take us out of Egypt? Well, you know, to free us and to bring us to Sinai to receive Torah. Isn't that simple? No, that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says the purpose of the Exodus was leman. Leman means the ultimate purpose was in order to bring us to this land. That's the last sentence of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. The only pasuk that makes the direct connection between Yetziat Mitzrayim and coming to Eretz Yisrael. And the Baal HaGadol chose that to be the last sentence in the Sipur. Because in this one sentence, he is taking care of any of the questions that you might have. Why don't we have a fifth coast? Why don't we this? Why don't we that? This pasuk sums it up in a way that no other pasuk does. If we're already at the Chol Dor V'Dor, if I'm not mistaken, one of the first ideas that struck me about the Haggadah, and I'm not going back to, you know, when I was 3 years old, I was already, I finished Shas on it. No. I think I was already a rabbi. Is the first sentence in this paragraph, is it true? Bechol dor v'dor chayev odom lirut at atzmo ki'ilu hu yotzo mimitzrayim? What did we say in Avodam Ayinu? Avodam Ayinu lefaro v'mitzrayim, we were enslaved to Paro in Egypt. V'ilu lo hotzi hakodish baruch hu otanu, if God would not have taken us out of Mitzrayim, we would still be enslaved. If we are to experience it the way it was then, it should say, Bechol dor v'dor chayev odom lirut at atzmo ki'ilu hu, ki'ilu hakodesh baruch hu hotzi oto mimitzrayim. In every generation, a person is supposed to see himself as though God took him out of Egypt. That would be reliving the experience as it was. The Baal HaGadol is a brilliant man. If that's what he would have written, then it would mean that 3,500 years of freedom were a total and absolute waste. How do we experience the difficult periods in life? If I'd have the chance, I would have done it differently. If only. A normal person can't relive the experience as though, yeah, if I would have been there and they enslaved me, I'd be enslaved. They beat me. Is that the way we're supposed to experience it? Yeah, we'd go through the same whole thing again. If that's the way we experience it, then we really learned nothing from 3,500 years of freedom. The way the Baal HaGadol says, Bechol dor v'dor, in every generation, chayev odom lidot at atzmo, a person has to see himself ki'ilu hu, if he would be there, yotzo mimitzrayim, he would have gone out of Egypt, he would have run, he would have fought. You would never have let it happen. He would have said, never again. So the Baal HaGadol is very careful in what he writes over here. In every generation, you have to see yourself as though you would have been there. You would not have permitted that terrible history to repeat itself, which is definitely the mitzvah of our generation. How did we let it happen? All right. Getting a little excited. That was good for me. All right. Let's go back to Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Oh, wait. wait, oh God. Behold over there. Behold over there, just back there again. In every generation, Chayev Adam Liris is Atzmo, Ki Luhu Yotzavi Mitzchayim. There's some story, something that happened to me that brought this to mind, and I can't remember now. Probably in the middle of the night I'll remember. There's another great message in this sentence. The Gemara in Masechet Gittin that describes the destruction of the Second Temple by Rome. That when Titus came into the Holy of Holies, he tore the parochet with his knife and it started bleeding. So he thought, the Gemara says, he thought, Atzmo Harag. What does Atzmo Harag mean? It has a literal meaning, but that's not what it really means. It's a euphemism. Atzmo Harag means he killed himself. But what the Gemara means to say, he thought that he killed God. Instead of using the term killed God, our rabbis couldn't use that term. So they turned it back on him. Kilu Atzmo Harag. Bechol dor v'dor, in every generation, Chayev Adam Lirot et Atzmo. In every generation, we have to see him, God, Kilu Hu Yotzami Mitzchayim. Not only we went out of Egypt, but he went out of Egypt. Isn't that what he told Yaakov Avinu in Parsha Vayigash? Onochi eded imcha mitzchaima. I'm going to go down with you to Egypt. Vonochi el chogam olo, and I am will bring you up, and I will also come up. Bechol mokom shegolu. The Gemara says wherever Jews went into exile, there the divine presence went into exile with them. So the Baal HaGadah over here is telling us a completely new and different dimension to the Exodus. The Exodus from Egypt was not only an exodus of the Jewish people, it was an exodus for God himself. Bechol dor v'dor chayev adam liris es atzmo, God ki'ilu hu yotzo mimitzchayim. By the way, that appears a number of places here in the Haggadah. By the Rasha. What does the Rasha say? Rasha Mahu Omer. I'll read it for you. Yeah, it's all right. It's back on the page we have to be at. Rasha Mahu Omer. What does the evil one say? Ma avoda azos lachem. What is all this service here? What's all this stuff? Matzah, mora, korban pesach. Lochem, he said, what's it to you? Velolo, not him. Ulefi shahotzi et atzmo min haklal. He removed God for the picture, as though we're doing something that we decided to do. Lefi shahotzi et atzmo min haklal, because he removed God from the picture. Kofar bi'ikar, he has rejected God completely. One more. After the Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim begins, you see there's a one over there. On the other side, there's a two, a three, and a four. The one, two, three, four, as I will show you in a moment, are the four psukim in Parshat Ki Tavo on which the story is based. Vayotzienu Hashem min Mitzrayim, and God took us out of Egypt, biyad chazaka, with a strong hand, ubizrava netuya, with an outstretched arm, ubamora gadol, with great fear, biosos ubamosim. So the Baal HaGadah says, You know how he reads this positive? God took us out of Egypt. Not through an angel. Not one of the seraphim. Not through a messenger. Ella HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo uba'atzmo. God, he himself. And I want to take you one step further. It's not only because he's taking us out, he's taking himself out with us. B'chvodo uba'atzmo. He also was going out. Shenemar, as it says, V'avarti b'eretz Mitzrayim b'alayla hazeh, I will go through the land of Egypt on that day. V'ikeiti kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim. All right. Now, but we started with a question some way back there. If we would be writing the story of the Exodus, where would we go to? We'd go to the original source, which is Sefer Shemot. But that's not what the Baal HaGadah does. The Baal HaGadah bases it all on four psukim in Parshat Ki Tavo that a Jew says when he brings the first fruits, he's an Eretz Yisrael, and he brings the first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash. Why doesn't he go straight to the source? And you know what he's doing? We will see that every part of these four psukim we study, and we prove that it is right by bringing psukim from elsewhere. Some from Shemot, some from other places in Tanakh. Why not go straight to the source? A number of answers are given for this. First of all, there are the practical answers. The entire story of the Exodus is summed up in four psukim in Parshat Ki Tavo. What takes us four parshiot in Shemot is condensed into four psukim in Parshat Ki Tavo. I saw somebody who said that there's something about the Ki Tavo formulation. The Ki Tavo formulation begins with Yaakov Avinu. It doesn't begin with our coming down to Egypt. It takes us back in history. We have to look to the roots of everything in history. It goes back to Yaakov Avinu. Personally, I felt that the answer to this question is the following. When we use the psukim in Ki Tavo, that the Jew says when he brings first fruits, he's describing Jewish history as his history. What does he say? Arami Ovid Avi, God, the Arami wanted to destroy my father. Vayareo Otano Amitzen, the Egyptians were bad to us. This Jew, 1,000 or 2,000 years after the event, is describing everything that happened in Egypt as though it happened to him. Isn't that the whole purpose of the Haggadah, that behold, Avadar, and every generation of persons should see that it's as though he went out? He has to re-experience history. There was an Israeli sage who said, "The past bores me." I don't want to mention who it was. The past bores me. If you don't have a past, you don't stand a chance. If you're not linked completely to your past, you're lost. You're lost. The ongoing, I keep reading articles and articles. You should know I've had one of my greatest difficulties has been not to write 5 letters to the editor every day in the Jerusalem Post. I mean, it can be sugar werden. You read all the nonsense and the stupidity and the this clash between American Jewry and Israel. Oh, how many articles I've I think there's some today, the clash. There's no clash between American Jewry and Israel. American Jewry has lost its Jewry. If there would be a Jewry, then there would be no clash between America and Israel. And I think it, the one, a few weeks ago, I think it was the chancellor of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America said it. Finally said the truth. It's not a problem with Israel's policies. They're doing what they have to do in order to protect and defend themselves. The problem is that American Jewry, the youth of America, are not Jewish. It's a tragedy, but that's the fact. That 70% of them voted for Hillary Clinton. So the Eibishter upheaten. Can't be. Do I have to translate that? I'm not going to translate. In the parasha of Mikra Bikurim, the Jew is saying, this history, going back 3,500 years, is my history. It's me. I experienced it. They tortured us. They enslaved us. We cried out to God, and he took us out. All right. Let's begin Tzehul Amad. Let's go back to, let's do a little reading of the Haggadah. By the way, you know, of course, there's a custom on Shabbos Haggadah, this coming Shabbos, to read the Haggadah. I'm sure you will. We'll see. Anyway, number one, Arami Ovedavi. Watch what happens. Shenema. The number one means that everything here is a pasuk from Parshat Ki Tavo. You see, Dvarim Chavav Hei. Arami Ovedavi, Vayedet Mitzchayma, Vayogosham, and he lived there in Mesemiyat. And watch, the Baal Haggadah studies each phrase. Vagated Mitzchayim, he went down to Egypt. Onus al pi hadibur. He was coerced. Yaakov Avinu didn't go down because he wanted to go down. He didn't go down with the intention of staying. He wanted to see his son and come back. So you should know it was onus al pi hadibur. It was God, through the word of God. It's part of a divine plan. The Jewish people have to go down to Egypt. In Egypt, they're going to become a great nation. Up to a point, suffering makes a people a great people. All that was necessary to create the personality and character of the Jewish people, an abhorrence of evil, that all men are created equal, that there's divine purpose in the world. All of this they learned in Egypt. It became a basic part of the makeup of the Jew. Vayogosham, and he lived there. Malame, this comes to teach us. Yaakov Avinu lishtakev b'mitzchayim. Yaakov Avinu didn't go down with the intent of settling in Egypt. Ela logursham, he went only the last line, first page. Shenema, Vayomer el Paro. Ah, now you hear? He's quoting the pasuk in Kitavo, but to prove that it's so, he goes back to a pasuk in Parshat Vayigash. Shenema Vayomer el Paro. Logo Ba'aretz Banu, he said to Paro, we came to live in the land. Ki'in mida latzona shel avadecha. Ki kaved harav beretz kedan. There is no grazing, no pasture, because there's a famine in the land of Canaan. B'mitei ma'at. The next phrase in the pasuk is, we were but a few people. First page, second side. Top of the page. B'mitei ma'at. We were just few, כמו שנאמר, as it says, בשבעים נפש ירדו אבותיכם מצרים, 70 souls came down with your fathers to Egypt. ועתו, now סומך השם אלוקיך ככוכבי השמיים לרוב, God has made you like the stars of the heaven. ויהי שם לגוי. This is again a quote from Kitavo. Everything is based on that. Malami that comes to teach us, Shahoyu Yisroel Mitzuyonim Sham, they stood out over there. They stood out over there. Let's go to number two. You see where it says number two? This is the second of the four psukim in Parshat Kitavo. Vayoreo Tano Amitzim, the Egyptians were bad to us, Vayanunu, and they tortured us, Vayitnu Aleinu Avodah Kosha, and they gave hard work upon us. Vayoreo Tano, here it is. That's the pasuk. Now the pasuk is going to be subdivided. Vayoreo Tano Amitzim, the first three words of the pasuk, the Egyptians were bad to us. As it says, now they go back, the Balagad goes back to the beginning of Shemot. Let's deal wisely with him. Pen Yirbe, lest he become many. Will come and will come to pass when there will be war. He will also become one of our enemies. And he will wage war against us. Here it is, it starts. It starts already. Dual loyalty started in Parashat Shemot. We're going to be attacked. We can't trust these Jews. We can't trust them. All you can trust is what? The Benjamins? No, I'm not going to explain the Benjamins, you understand? Okay. BBs, okay. Here it is. There's anti-Semitism in its diapers. Kisikrenu mukhama v'nosav gam hu also neinu. What reason do they have to doubt the loyalty of the Jewish people? What did they ever do that in any way showed that they were not loyal to Egypt? But that's it. Why does it happen? I don't know. We'll never find out. Vayanunu, next word in the pasuk, and they caused us to, they tortured us, k'mo shenema, as it says, Vayosimu, love, here it is, pasuk in Kitavo, but we go back to Shemot in order to verify that it's so. Vayosimu, all of a sudden, they placed upon them taxes, tax collectors, l'man anotobisim, l'otam, in order to torture them with their heavy work. And he built the storehouses for Paro at Pitom at Ramses. By the way, you know, Jews have built great monuments for the Goyim in whichever country they were in the world at any time. We left our mark wherever we were. We left our mark. Vayitnu aleinu avodah kosha, and they placed upon us hard work, k'mo shenema, v'yavidu mitzrayim et bnei Yisrael b'forach, the Egyptians enslaved the Jewish people with hard work. Number three is the next pasuk. The whole story is based on those four psukim in Parashat Kitavo. V'nitzakal Hashem, okay, I was telling you, we cried out to God, the God of our fathers. Vayishma Hashem et kolenu, and God heard our voice. Vayad et onyenu vet amolenu vet lachatzenu. And he saw our suffering, our toil, and our distress. It seems God was waiting for us to cry out. For many years we didn't cry out. For many years, Jews were, I don't know, was it the slavery that did it to them? They didn't cry out. But when they cry out, God God responds. The Nitzakal Hashem Lekeh Avotenu, we cried out to God, our God, Kamashin Emer, as it says, Vayi Bayomer Marab Mahayim, this is in Shemot. After many days had passed, Vayomot Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, died. Vayeonchu b'nei Yisroel min ha'avoda, they groaned, the children of Israel groaned and moaned from the heavy work, and they cried out, Vatal Shavatam Elokim, and their cries went straight up to God, min ha'avoda. Vayishma Hashem et koleinu, God heard our voice, k'mo she'nema, Vayishma Elokim et nakatam, God heard their cries, Vayizkor Elokim et brito, et Avram, et Yitzhak, et Yaakov. And he remembered the covenant that he entered into with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Let's go to number four. You get the general idea already. The whole Sipu Yitziat Mitzrayim is based on those four psukim in Kitavu. Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim. Number four. Biot Chazok Uvzrayin Etuyov Umor Gadol Ubotot Umor Uvtim Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim. He took us out of Egypt. Lo al yedei malach. We learned this already. Ela Kodesh Baruch Hu bechvoto u'ba'atzmo. Now, maybe I shouldn't be so honest with you, but the shir really is on the next page. You know, this was all in production. What I wanted to deal with, and I will not be able to do it. By the way, I'm teaching next week. I'm teaching next week. Wait a minute. But let's go where it's underlined on the next page. Rabbi Yehuda Hayam Notain Behem Simanim. Here it is. Dam Tzvadeya Kinim Orov Deveshrin Borod Arbe Choshech. Makal Bechoros. Rabbi Yehuda Hayam Notain Behem Simanim. Rabbi Yehuda would make signs. What did he do? He took the first letters of the 10 plagues and he turned them into the Tzach, Adash, Ba'achav. What was the brilliance of Rabbi Yehuda? Can you read an article any place today without... I can't remember all of the organizations. There are no organizations. There are NGOs. ABC, XYZ, everybody, me too, you too, breaking the silence, silencing the silence, yelling the silence. Sure, it's crazy, crazy. Everybody, there are more organizations than there are Jews. It's unbelievable. I don't want to do it. By the way, I don't understand what it means when they have that sign. Huh? Hashtag? What's that mean? And what does it mean when you have it before the name of some fashlugan organization?
So it's their Twitter account.
I take back the question. I'm sorry I asked. I don't know. Okay, all right. It's okay. I'm just going to... I'm going to live in the bliss of my age. I don't have this... That's a Twitter account, Schmidt. Okay. So where am I? You know, I didn't even know where I'm going to over here. Oh. So here is the whole... So this is it. We're going to say the whole story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. We gave you the structure of it. You know, and then of course on the next page underlined Rabbi Gamliel Hayaome, very important. One, two, side three on the right hand side. Rabbi Gamliel Hayaome, Rabbi Gamliel used to say, Kol shlo omar shlosho dvorim elu v'pesach lo yotze yedecho v'ato mi, whoever did not say these three things on Pesach has not fulfilled his obligation. The Elohein, and these are the three things that you have to mention. The reason for Pesach, the Paschal lamb, the Korban Pesach, Matzah and Morah. What does it mean, Lo Yotze Yedecho Vato? Lo Yotze Yedecho Vato means he has not fulfilled the obligation of telling the story. We're talking, the whole Haggadah is about the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. We talked last week about the fact that there are two distinct mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah to remember the Exodus. That's every day and every night. Leman Tizkor, in order that you should remember Yom Tzeitcha, the day that you went out of Egypt. And then there's the mitzvah of the Higadito Lebincha, you should tell your child. You have to tell him the story. Haggadah is not simply mentioning something. The Higadito Lebincha means you have to tell him the whole story. And I've always said, if you study the Haggadah carefully, you will see that the Haggadah is not only the story of Sipur, Yitziat Mitzrayim, it's also the story of how to educate children. You're telling them the story of the past, and you're telling them that we have mitzvahs to fulfill, but you're not simply telling them that we have mitzvahs to fulfill. You're doing it with them. They're going to learn by your example, and your example is more significant than just telling, but you have to do it, and we do it all together. And if they don't understand the significance of the Korban Pesach, the Matzah and the Morah, they have not fulfilled the mitzvah. That you got to say that. And you have to say the whole thing. And you have to say the whole thing. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. This is a celebration of Jewish history. It's a celebration of freedom. And then, on the next page where it says, end of Sipur, after b'chol dor chayiv adam lidos et atzmo, you know, it's something I thought of this morning, just this morning. I'm taking you back for a moment. You know, these things happen. I said, chayiv adam lidos et atzmo, I said, means not only myself, but it means atzmo, God. And I have proof of it. If the Baal Haggadah is only talking about me, shouldn't it have said b'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam lidot atzmo? Who needs that et? What's the et doing there? B'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam lidot atzmo, to see himself. Et atzmo means the atzmo. The atzmo is the great atzmo of all. I think it was Ben-Gurion who said, there's always been a battle amongst Hebraicists about whether we need to use the word et or not, because whatever you write, you can use an et or you can do without an et. Now, I'm not talking about a pen, ayin tet, I'm talking about aleph, tuf. And he was a Hebraicist who said, zochor et, shamor et. Be careful about the word et. It has meaning. It carries significance. I think over here, it's clear. B'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam lidot et atzmo means not only me, but him as well. And then, following the end of the Sipur, comes the praise of God. L'fichach anachnu chayavim lahodot. And we may pick up the... I don't remember the title that I gave for next week's shiur, but I think it's going to be about Rabbi Akiva and the Haggadah. You know, of course, that Rabbi Akiva is my great, great hero. So I think it's going to be Rabbi Akiva and the Haggadah, unless I change my mind till next week, but I don't think so. Anyway, okay. So anybody all those people who are staying home really have nothing to do, so you can come to the shir next Tuesday. Those people who are going away to a hotel, well, they have to pack, so they can't come. Okay.